is we live in a world which is just falling apart. In our prayers this morning, Ellen mentioned all of the stress and tension that people in our world are feeling. That's the world of Caesar, I have to say. There are two worlds. There's the world of Caesar and there's the world of the kingdom. And I want to say, and that's why I chose this reading this morning, I'd like to talk about this reading. We have to get our heads straight again. Not just through COVID and figure out where we get our strength from, figure out where we get our power from. We have to get our heads straight because every church goes through difficult times. Every church struggles with the notion of what it means. Why? Because there are ideas that come through individual heads. There are the impact of satanic forces out there attempting to derail churches. And there's the limited intellect that all of us have. I mean, none of us is significantly bright, and when confronted with a difficult issue, the temptation is to either blast our way through it or to retreat with our tail between our legs. Rough time, huh? And then you discover that after people haven't been to church for 2 years, they decide they're not going to come again because it's easier to stay home and watch church in your pyjamas. This is not an easy time. This is not an easy time. We have to think about what it means to live through this time. But the important message is that we have a resource and a strength that nobody in that world out there has. Right? Now that's where we need to go. The reading from Acts this morning, if you've got your Bibles out, can we stick that reading up? We can't. Can we stick that reading up from verse 16 on? There we go. Yeah, I won't need my Bible at that rate. Now, can you see that while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. What's the problem? Here's a community trying to discover its own resources and discover its own way through, discover its own possibilities, and to identify what might be its identity as a people. And their search is to build up a whole series of idols. And they've got, anybody been to Athens? They're still there, aren't they? All those statues are still there. But Paul knows, and if you have a look at 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see that Paul says, those are not just statues that have been built, they are the homes for demons. When I wandered through your city, it wasn't just a matter of me seeing these things here, it was me in my spiritual reality understanding that there was here opposition to the things of God and opposition to the things of humanity, an attempt to draw you down into nothing. You've got all these stories, got all of these patterns, got all of this discussion. And where's it leading you? Destruction of the Greek Empire. Now, we live in a world today where at that layer of natural government, and we have been given that government to be obedient to, they operate on the things of this world. They operated on the decisions and the capacities and the abilities of everybody in this world. And they listen to one another and they say, you should do this, you should do that, you should do something else. Now, we are part of that world. Whether we like it or not, we're a part of that world. You see, we've got these God-fearing Greeks, we've got all these people who sit and listen to the things of God, but where does that take us? What it takes us into is this incredible thing of what am I supposed to do? How do I cope with this? I'm starting to get lonely. How do I cope with this? How do I get out and do what I need to do? I'm 75, for goodness sake. What am I going to get COVID virus? And the anxiety begins to lift and the stuff happens, and then In our church, we're struggling because things are happening that sometimes we don't know about, and we don't know what to do. Life is... And what Paul does, run that a bit if you wouldn't mind, what Paul does is to go out and talk to people. And he goes out to talk to people about this. Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Why was he preaching about Jesus and the resurrection? He was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection because on top of the layer of our society, there is now creeping into their society a new community, a new kingdom, which they don't know about yet, but which has the authority and the imprimatur of the living God upon it. The kingdom in which the living God of the universe is in charge, the kingdom upon which this kingdom is now just going to, is now going to compete, because the two kingdoms come together, and we live in this world where there are these two kingdoms now, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. So we say to ourselves, what is it we need to do to cope with the kingdoms of this world in 2022? We need to understand this. In him, can you roll it to that one? In him we live and move and have our being. Folks, when you were born again, he sent his Holy Spirit to live in you. And when he invited into you into his kingdom, he invited you into a location which has all of the resources for the unity of humanity, which has all of the resources and the capacity for you to be able to cope with what's happening around you, which has all of the capacities of leadership for you to be able to understand what the future holds for you. It is not your responsibility anymore. Your responsibility is to become friends with the boss. Does that make sense? Your responsibility is to come into this kingdom and allow yourself to know, against the wildest of dreams, that the God who owns this universe, that the God who created all things at just the spray of his hand, says to you, I want you to come and sit next to me. And you know, I want to hold your hand. I want to take you through everything we've got to do together. I want to lead you. In him we live. In him we live. Every experience of our life, we live in him. He gives us life. He helps us to understand the way things are. In this kingdom, the topsy-turvy kingdom, by the way, in this kingdom, things happen differently. The criteria of this kingdom is not power, is not authority, is not control, is not manipulation, is not money, is not ownership, is not wealth, reputation. In this kingdom, the criteria is love. In this kingdom, the criteria is love. And in this kingdom, the procedure is grace. In this kingdom, the procedure is grace. In this kingdom, we learn to understand that when we come to hold his hand, he says, come to me and I'll take your burdens on my shoulders. Take my burdens on yours, which is the relationship. This kingdom of ours now is not a kingdom where there are rules and regulations where you have to obey things all the time. This kingdom is a kingdom of relationship. It's not a religion at all. It has nothing to do with religion. It's a holding the hand day by day, moment by moment, with the Lord of the universe. In him we live. And he says to us, look, there are certain things that human beings need to know about. And I want to help you. One of the things, and I'm just choosing one or two because I think they're appropriate. There are lots. One of the things that he needs us to do is to choose forgiveness. That's the name of the kingdom. When Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, You know there's a bit in there about forgiving one another as we're forgiven. Forgive us as we forgive others. The only thing he picks up out of the Lord's Prayer in the commentary underneath it, his words, have to do with forgiveness. And he expands upon it again. Now, how do you forgive? How do you forgive? How do you forgive what's been happening in this, our church here? Are you good at that? Are you capable of doing that? I say, you hold the hand of the Master and say to him, show me what to do. Because you know and I know, if we don't forgive each other, what happens is that the memories of that experience then impact into the things we've got to do in the future, and everything is messed up. Because I begin to interpret you as the person who hurt me a little while ago, and I'm not going to listen to what you say. Who do you think you are? And all of a sudden we're on the slippery slope of the other world. David, one of the major questions, I think, has to do with forgiveness. We need to travel the road of saying to one another, I forgive you. I forgive you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to see you hurt. You need to chase up those who've left and say, we love you. That's the name of the kingdom. That's the name of the kingdom. Well, where do we go from here? It's beginning of 2022. We're excited about a new year. Where do we go? Well, in him we live and move. Whatever we do from here into the future is in him. He'll show us the way. He'll live with us. He'll guide us. Things may not look like they used to look a while ago. In fact, next week I want to talk about Psalm 127. Lest the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain that build it. But I want to read out before that some stuff that I was sent just a week or two ago about where the future of our world looks. Talk about that next week. What about the future? We have to develop the skills of the kingdom. There are lots of skills in the kingdom, but one of the skills of the kingdom is to talk. To talk with him. And develop a relationship that looks like that. Not to talk academically to one another about ideas and about things, but to say, Lord God, I love you. Lord God, I need you. Father, 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 give me life. Father, give me life. What am I supposed to do? Well, my experience is that when you ask him questions, he generally answers you. As David said, sometimes it happens straight away, sometimes it's a long time away, but he answers. He tells you what to do. In him we live, in him we move, take directions we need to take. We don't need to do it on our own. We don't need to do it on our own. As a church leadership, where do we start? On our knees. On our knees. And when the leadership says to the church membership, would you pray for us? Then you say, I'll have a group around my home where we will pray for you. I will pray for you. Every Wednesday night. Why not say as a whole church, every Wednesday night, we're not going to have a prayer meeting at church, but every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock in my house, I'm going to pray for my church. And I'm going to talk to my master. And I'm going to talk to him about the things that have happened. I'm going to be open. I'm going to tell him about everything. And I'm going to say, Lord, would you help us? You reckon that'll make a difference? I'm certain of it. I mean, my experience of this God of the universe, is that when I ask him what to do, he generally tells me what to do. When I was talking to Kay first and then David about preaching here, I said to the Lord, Lord, what am I supposed to talk about? In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. I'll let you into a secret. The Diane and me, that's our foundational verse. In him I live, in him I move, and in him I have the very existence which goes to the root of my personality, goes to the root of my psyche, goes to the root of my existence, into the burrows of my mind where nobody has ever gone. He goes in there, and in him I live and I move, and in him I dwell. In him I live and move and have my being. My existence is wrapped up in God. I am never on my own. I am not on my own. His Holy Spirit, I'm just talking about me because I'm an example. You're the same, if you choose to be. His Holy Spirit is there. When you were born again, his Spirit came to your spirit, and together they operate like that. He is there. In him we live. All of the things of our, you know, the ups and downs. We need forgiveness and we need healing. Believe healing is there, by the way, in the kingdom? Oh, I'd be very surprised if it's not. Doesn't he say, I'll forgive you? Doesn't he say, I'll heal you? Doesn't he say, I'll set you back on the track again? Don't worry about these things. Leave the things of this kingdom to this kingdom. Leave them there. When you need to deal with the things of this kingdom, go straight to the boss. How he can cope with that is not my... I have not the slightest idea. Because I know I take up a fair bit of his time. And I guess other people do too. What does the future hold for this church? Well, living among you is the living God of the universe. He dwells here. He is here now. He is here now. He knows your future. He knows your purpose. He knows your reality. He knows where you're headed. He knows what things are going, but you need to find out from him what they are. You need to come to him and say, Father, where do I go? What do I do? Where are we going? How are we doing? And then on the basis of forgiveness and healing and love and graciousness, never pushing my own way, always searching to be a servant to somebody, always reaching out to use the gifts that I've got at God's disposal, always searching for all of those things, longing to be used by him in his kingdom. That's why I'm here. I'm here to be used by him. You're here to be used by him. And when we're finished being used by him, he says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Doesn't mean you've been Prime Minister of Australia. Just means that you've been obedient to the boss of the universe. And he knows what he intended for you. And he longs to have you do it. Do you have a future at Lilydale? Well, when you've been boxed around the ears a little bit, and when you've been struggling with government regulations that change before you can figure out what's coming next, you begin to believe that I'm tired. You begin to believe, I don't know what to do anymore. I think I'll be better to watch this show on TV rather than come to church. You begin to believe that stuff. And I say to you, that is not the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is that the one who runs the universe, one who has the power to control the distribution of stars, the one who has the authority to hold the world in place, has the capacity to look after Lilydale Baptist Church. Don't you think? Don't you think? Yes. Absolutely. Now, the way forward, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Now, I've been talking about that as if it belongs to each of us. Now, I want to say to you, there is a body here that has a different name to our names. It is the body of Christ, the body of Jesus. Now, do you think for even an instant that the Lord of the universe is going to see his body of his Son dealt with badly if they are prepared to come to him and plead with him for their future? Never. Never in a million years. You have before you all of the resources you need. You have among you everything that God intends you to be. Might not be what you think it ought to be, but that's got nothing to do with it. And so I want to say to you, as the first comment about you and your future, is I'm excited for you. I'm excited because of the possibilities. Not as I look around here, because I see most people about my age. That's a problem, isn't it? No, of course it's not. I'm excited because I've been there before. I've been there with this master. I've said to him, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he said, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Amen. Ooh. Now, we have the most precious thing. You might get your cups out from underneath. We have the most precious thing in the world to share today. First Sunday in January 2022. And I wanted to ask you, as you partake of this, and we'll go through the ritual in a minute, but I wanted to ask you to make this your statement to God. I want you to have a relationship with God over this meal. I want you to talk to him. I want you to interact with him. And when we all know what's going to happen, but when we come to the bread, would you talk to him? This is my bread of life. This is where I live. Saviour, what have you done for me? What position have you put me in? All because of love. All because you loved me. You're prepared to sacrifice your life for me. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. This is so precious. When we get to the blood, the wine, we'll have a bit of time in between without any talking. I want you to say, Lord, I take this again, but my taking of this is my signing a new document, a new covenant of relationship with you that I promise to see my future built on you alone. I invite you in your spirit to think these things, to know these things, to believe these things. You with me? The disciples were sitting around and Jesus took a loaf and he said, this is my body, which is for you, not just broken. Given, pledged for you. As you eat it, do so in remembrance of the fact that I did this for you and I want you to carry this forward to the end of time. Will you participate in this and will you talk to the Lord about your relationship with him? Lord, thank you for what you've done. We couldn't stand here or sit here together, Lord, without you being such a wonderful, wonderful master. And we bless you. Eat of the bread, won't you? sitting at the meal and he took the goblet of wine and he held it up, presumably, I think, and said, look, this is the feast now that says I'm signing a covenant with you. And I sign the covenant in my blood that I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to give you the resources of the kingdom to build the future. And as you celebrate this, as you think about this, know that I did it for you. Would you talk to him now? Would you sign a new covenant with him in this grape juice? Go ahead. Welcome us home back to intimacy. Not a distance between us, but an intimacy which lets us know again how much you love us, how much you have a future for us, how much you will guide us in everything we need to know. Thank you, Father God, that you understand every heartbeat, every fear, every problem, every pain. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. You have redeemed us. We live in you. We move in you. Every part of our character rests in you. We thank you that this love will not fail. This love will not lead us astray. This love will take us to eternity, to perfection. Amen. Can I suggest that we just sing the next hymn and then close the service because we're running fairly late? Can I invite you to stand and let me tell you about this hymn. I deliberately chose this hymn. There was an Anglican vicar who was engaged to be married, and they were just about to be married, and his fiancée discovered that he had a disease that was going to send him blind within 2 or 3 years. So she dropped him. And he was knocked around the ears by that. And a few years later, he wrote this lovely, wonderful hymn. My fiancée might do that, but there is a love that will never let me go.